الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding the faith that you practice. I also want to mention that I am unapologetic when it comes to the rites and the rituals related to the Islamic faith. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, to have your Quran next to you, because this is a class, and notebooks or pens and pencil next to you, so you'll be able to take notes and follow along. By the way, those who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to the weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic is about servant of Allah. Basically, from the Islamic standpoint, what does it mean to be a servant of Allah? And this is not the end of it. This is just the tip of the iceberg regarding what it means to be a servant of Allah. Now, what happens to the servant of Allah on a day of judgment? Because the Muslims, we believe in a day of judgment that we all will stand before Allah, naked, uncircumcised, and we will answer the question about what we did, and I'll get to that later on, about what we did with our life, and did we worship Allah properly, or did not worship Allah, that we were disobedient to Allah while we were here on this earth. And so the Prophet, may peace and blessing be upon him, he said, and it's my hope also, before I get to that, is that this will help us. Maybe we think that we're servants of Allah, and maybe we're truly not. Or maybe we are servants of Allah. So big time thumbs up to you, and may Allah continue to bless you if you are a servant of Allah and doing your best to serve Allah and obey Allah. And those who may lax a little bit, then maybe this today's class will help you to become a better servant of Allah and not a servant of man. Getting back to the topic at hand, the Prophet, may peace and blessing upon him, he said, a servant of Allah will remain standing on a day of judgment till he is questioned about his age and how he spent it, and about his knowledge and how he utilized it, about his wealth and from where he acquired it, and in what activities he spent it, and about his body as to how he used it. So we'll be questioned also about our health, our wealth, and these are the kind of things that we'll be questioned about on a day of judgment. So if you haven't been doing well with your health and your wealth and all those things that I mentioned earlier, then, okay, now you know to start doing right by it, because on a day of judgment, Allah will question you. He will question you and question you. He already knows the answers, but he will question you about what you did or what you did not pertaining to your life and your wealth and your education and all these kind of things that I mentioned earlier. So to be a good servant, do good things with your life, with your wealth, with your health. Do good things with that now, so that when you get before Allah, you'll be in a good position, in a good state, instead of being in a bad state because you did bad things with your wealth, you earned your money in a bad way, you did not worship Allah when you were healthy, or help people when you were healthy. You were more so an evil and bad person with the health that Allah gave to you, or the wealth that Allah gave to you. Now, what is a bad servant? I mentioned a good servant. Now, what is a bad? I didn't mention a good servant. I mentioned Allah going to question you about were you a good servant or not a good servant. Now, let's talk about what is a bad servant. I'll be going back and forth. I'll be a little all over the place pertaining to this topic, because there's so much involved in the topic when you're talking about being a servant of Allah. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, asked us, he said, that he said, "He is a bad servant who is proud and puts on airs, forgets the most great and the sublime one. He is a bad servant who is overbearing and forgets the overpowering most high one. He is a bad servant," and other things are said here too. "He is a bad servant who is neglectful and careless and forgets the graves and corruption. He is a bad servant who is corrupt and excessively disobedient and forgets the beginning and the end. He is a bad servant who deceptively uses religion. He is a bad servant who really is a greedy person, or let his greed get the best of him. He is a bad servant who is misled by passion. He is a bad servant who is debased by worldly desires." So now we know the bad servant, the one who clings on and wants these worldly desires, that is misled by his or her passion, a person that is greedy, or a person that misuses his religion. And we see a lot of things going on in the world today, that he forgets about the beginning. And with the beginning, you have an end. And so we were born, we came into this world, and we're going to have to leave this world and face our Lord Allah, may peace of Allah. We have to face Allah. And also the person who's neglectful and careless and forgets that he's going to end up in the grave. And also the person that is corrupt and being careful of being a servant, a bad servant, by being a corrupt individual. And so I'm just trying to let us know, you and me know, and by identify, am I a bad servant or am I a good servant? Are my family members bad servants or are they good servants? We're talking about being servants of Allah, not of anyone or anything else. Worldly, it doesn't matter. Because on the day of judgment, it will not matter. Because were you a good servant of Allah? Do you take care of the people? Were you greedy? Do you misuse and abuse your power and authority? Also, it was related to one of the companions of the Prophet. He said, "When a man prays publicly in a good manner and prays secretly in a good manner, Allah Most High says, 'This is my servant indeed.'" So not just showing off for people that if we pray publicly good and privately good or secretly good, then Allah, he says, and I know I want Allah to say this about me, is that "This is my servant indeed." So if you're not doing that, praying publicly in a good manner or privately in a good manner, then you need to change that. You have the opportunity to change that. At least make the intentions, the niyyah, to change that and be a better servant of Allah. So that Allah can say about you, "This is my servant indeed." Also, what happens to a good servant of Allah? Allah's apostle, this is narrated by Abu Dard. Allah's apostle, may peace and blessings be upon him, he went out in the winter when the leaves were falling. He took hold of two twigs of a tree and said, "That is a twig, the leaves of which have fallen." He said, "Abu Dard," he said, "Labaik," like, "I'm here, O Allah's messenger." He said, may peace be upon him, "Verily, when a believing servant of Allah observes the prayer seeking only Allah's pleasure, his sins fall from him just like the leaves have fallen from the tree." And so can you imagine the next time those who live in areas where we have the leaves that fall, or you can read about it, you can look on YouTube or whatever if you don't have that in your area, and watch the leaves fall. And Allah knows every leaf that falls to the ground. Can you imagine? Me, a human being, no way. With my limited ability. Even just a tree or one branch. I don't know how many leaves fell off that particular branch, but Allah knows every leaf that falls on the ground. He knows everything. He is aware of everything. And so we remember, the next time you look at a tree and the leaves are falling from the ground, then are falling from the tree onto the ground, is that Allah says, Allah, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, verily, when a believing servant of Allah observes the prayer, seeking only Allah's pleasure, his sins fall from him, just like the leaves have fallen from the tree. So just imagine, look at a tree that the leaves are falling from, and then you see the leaves on the ground. Imagine that's you, that tree. And you make prayers for the pleasure of Allah, seeking Allah's pleasure, and that on that ground are all your sins, if Allah accepts that from you. So next time you look at a tree, embrace what is going on. Look at it as you being that tree, and those leaves on the ground are your sins. Because why? Because you observe the prayer seeking only the pleasure of Allah. Now, what is pleasing to Allah? When a servant seeks to please Allah and continues to do so, then Allah, who is great and glorious, says to Jibril or Gabriel, my servant so-and-so seeks to please me. Therefore, my mercy has descended on him. Jibril or Gabriel says, Allah's mercy has descended on so-and-so, and the bearers of this throne and those who are around them say it until the inhabitants of the seven heavens says it, after which it comes down to him on earth. Allah says what? He says that the servant of mine continue to be pleased with me or seek my pleasure, and I am pleased with so-and-so. And he says that to Jibril, that Jibril says it, and then the angel who are in the heaven, they say it, and they can say it, and say it all the seven heavens until it comes down to him, or to me, or to you here on earth, because we're seeking only the pleasure of Allah, to please Allah and no one else. In the end, we want to please Allah, do things that please Allah, to be good servants of Allah, Almighty God. So please, my students, I encourage you, before Allah takes your soul, and he will take your soul. Kulli nafsun dha'iqatul maut. Every soul will have a taste of death. We don't know where, when, or how we're going to die, but for certainly we all are going to die. Now, who does Allah pardon? It was narrated by Abu Hurairah, one of the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him. He says, the gates of paradise are not open but on 2 days, Monday and Thursday. And then every servant of Allah is granted pardon, who does not associate anything with Allah except the person whose heart there is a rancor against his brother. And it would be said, look towards both of them until there is reconciliation. Look towards both of them until there is reconciliation. Look towards both of them until there is reconciliation. In this particular hadith says those who not be pardoned, who boycott each other. And so I'm mad at my brother, he's mad at me, we don't talk to each other, we don't look at each other, and so we want our soul to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the rancors, without the problem between the two of us. And then Allah, it said look towards those, both of them, until there is reconciliation between myself and my brother. We can't even go 3 days without being mad at each other. I don't like to go to bed with my being mad at my brother or my sister. I feel uncomfortable doing that. It disturbs me and disturbs my sleep. And so we also should do the same thing. Do not want to be mad at our brother or our sister, because we want to be pardoning from Allah. And we want to ask Allah, we don't want to boycott each other and miss out on the pardon from Allah. So I want to mention about who draws closest to Allah. It was mentioned by the Prophet, peace be upon him. He said, when my servant, it was said Allah Ta'ala, he says, when my servant draws close to me by a span of a palm, I draw close to him by the span of a cubit. And when he draws close to me by the space of a cubit, I draw close to him by the space covered by two hands. And when he draws close to me by the space covered by two hands, I go in hurry towards him. And so when we go to Allah a little bit, Allah comes close to us a lot. But we have to move closer to Allah and be in obedience to Allah and have a love for Allah. We want to do all the things to draw closer to Allah and not further away from Allah. Because if we make in prayer and we turn away from Allah, Allah turns away from us. We turn our back on Allah, Allah may turn his back on us. We want to do everything to get closer to Allah. Move one step closer to Allah, Allah moves two steps closer to us. We go stepping lively to Allah, Allah runs to us. Not that Allah has to do that, but Allah does this for us out of his mercy, out of his rahmah. And only just think Allah has 100 rahmah, 100 mercy. And only one mercy is given to all of mankind, and 99 mercies Allah keeps to himself. You know how powerful that is to have one mercy to cover all of mankind from Adam to the last man. A man or woman on earth is covered by one rahmah, one mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we all want to seek the blessing from Allah, the mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Barakah min Allah ta'ala, the barakah or the blessings or the mercy from Allah. But we have to move closer to Allah in order to receive that and do the things that please Allah in order to receive his rahmah, his mercy, or his barakah, the barakah or the blessing of Allah. Now, what is the reward of helping others? It was also narrated by Abu Huraira. And he said, "He who alleviates the suffering of a brother from the affliction of the world, Allah will alleviate his affliction from the suffering of the day of resurrection. He who finds relief for one who is hard pressed, Allah will make things easy for him in the hereafter. And he who conceals the faults of a Muslim, Allah will conceal his faults in the world in the hereafter. Allah is at the back of a servant so long as the servant at the back of his brother. He who treads the path in search of knowledge, Allah will make his path easy, leading towards paradise for him and those persons who assemble in one of the houses of Allah," meaning the masjid, the place of worship, "and recite the book of Allah and learn and teach the Quran amongst themselves." Now, I want you all, I'm going to stop here because this is a little bit lengthy, but we see here we want to help others, and Allah helps us. If someone has affliction in this world, Allah relieves it of affliction in the hereafter, from any suffering hereafter. And if someone is oppressed or hard pressed in this world, Allah make it easy for us in the next world. If we conceal the faults of a person in this world, Allah conceals the faults of us in the hereafter. We help others, Allah helps us. There's so much benefit in it. And so it's not too late. As long as you have breath in your body, practice this thing that I'm telling you about. Maybe you already knew it, maybe you forgot to do it, but maybe we could revive it amongst ourselves as human beings and get closer to Allah. And that if someone is suffering from affliction in this world and we alleviate it, then we want to, that Allah would alleviate any affliction that we will be suffering in the hereafter. And if we also relieve someone of some kind of hard press in this world, Allah will make it easy for us in the hereafter. And we can seal the faults of people. A lot of times people like to reveal the faults of people. He did this, he did that, he's this, he's that, or she's this, he's that. You know the people I'm talking about. Maybe you're that person that does that, maybe you're the person that receives it. Always talk about the faults of other people and not really looking at your own faults, really. But the thing is, you're always pointing out the faults of other people. But if you cover and conceal the faults of other people, Allah will cover your faults in the hereafter. Now, what are some of the rewards of praying for one's brother or, of course, one's sister? It was narrated by Abu Darda. There is no believing servant who supplicates for his brother behind his back in his absence that the angels do not say, the same be for you too. Can you imagine this? I'm praying for my sister or praying for my brother. Oh Allah, give this, give that to this individual. They don't know I'm doing it. I'm not doing it for any money or anything like that, or because I'm interested in a woman, so I'm going to pray for her or let her know, yeah, I just prayed for you. Can we get together with each other, marry each other and the like? And so, no, that's not what it's all about, trying to get some money from a brother, something like that. Brother, I prayed for you. Now, go and give me that money. And so, no, that's not what it's all about. It's about praying for the person. They don't even know you're praying for them. And then the angels, what do they say? The angels say the same be for you too. And so we want to start doing that, praying for our brothers, praying for our sister, praying for humanity. And then the angel will say what? They will say the same to you. So this is what we need to do, to be good servants of Allah and not being bad servants of Allah. And it's not too late. You have breath in your body. You hear what I'm saying. It's not too late. Start now. After you finish listening to this particular podcast, then say, this is what I'm going to start doing. At least make the intention to say, this is what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to start being a better servant of Allah, because we don't know if we're going to live to hear another broadcast or make another broadcast. We go to sleep at night, we don't know if we're going to wake up in the morning. We wake up in the morning, we don't know if we're going to go to sleep at night, because Allah may take our soul. So let's make the niyyah, our intention, to be better servants of Allah. Not so much mankind, because there's some benefit from that, but not as much as when we are servants of Allah. It is also mentioned when you talk about something to please Allah. And so what do I mean by that? It is, Allah is pleased with his servant who says, Alhamdulillah, while taking a morsel of food or while drinking. Meaning, our praise, Alhamdulillah means our praise to Allah. There may be other interpretations, but from the English standpoint, it means our praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah. So when I take some food, I say Alhamdulillah, our praise to Allah. When I drink some water, I say Alhamdulillah, our praise to Allah. I want to remember Allah. I want to always remember Allah in the things that I do, because Islam is not necessarily a religion. It more so is a way of life. That's what it is. You can fall under religion, but it's much more than that. It's a way of life. It's everything that we do. We enter to our wives, we say certain supplications. We go in and out of the bathroom, we say certain supplication. Go in and out of our home, we say certain supplications. And we go in and out the masjid, we say certain supplications. We take rides or get on a ride or something like that, a horse or a car or a plane, something like that. We say certain supplication, because this is a way of life for us. This is this beautiful faith. This is Islam. It's our way of life. So even when we take in water, we say Alhamdulillah. Or we drink some tea or something like that, we say Alhamdulillah. We take some food, we say Alhamdulillah. I want to move on. And also I mentioned it earlier, but I want to also mention how we get close to Allah. And that I was mentioned by Abu Huraira, one of the companions of the Prophet. He said, the nearest a servant comes close to his Lord is when he is prostrating himself. So make supplication in this state. Because for the Muslim, when we prostrate, we put our heads on the ground as part of our prayer. We do standing and bowing and sitting, and then we put our face on the ground, that sort of thing. And so in the position of prostration, this is when the supplication are sometimes the strongest. There are other times when supplication are strong, when we're traveling or when it's raining and that kind of thing, or breaking our fast. And so those are other times where our supplications are strong, our prisoner was oppressed. But another time when our supplications are strong is when we have our face on the ground and we make a prostration. And so it mentions here, one of the ways that when we are closer to Allah is when we have our face on the ground in prostration. And at that time, we make supplication to Allah and ask Allah for what we need and what we want and what we desire. There are other times we can do so. That's not the only time. But for the servant of Allah, that's what we do. We have our face on the ground that asks Allah for what we need and what we want and what we desire. And we want to ask Allah to make us good servants, make us better servants of Allah. And it also mentioned about if we want Allah to love us. So you say, yeah, Imam, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? By Allah loving us? Because I had mentioned it earlier about when Allah talked to Angel Jibril and he said, I love so and so. Therefore, he said, and therefore love him. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, Angel Jibril loves him. Then he, Jibril, calls out to the heaven saying, Allah loves so and so, therefore love him. And the inhabitants of the heaven love him. And he, the Prophet, said, then acceptance is established for him in the earth. Again, this one is a little bit long, but again, you want Allah to love you, and we want Allah to love us. We want to love Allah, and so Allah can announce to Jibril, Allah loves so and so. I want Allah to say my name, that he loves me. And Jibril says, Allah loves so-and-so, so you love so-and-so. And the heavens, and all the seven heavens, they say, we love so-and-so. This is certainly what we want. That Allah loves us and that he announces our name. Or he says my name to those that are present. Love so-and-so. Love Imam Hassan Amin. I want that. I want that for me. And of course, I certainly want that. I want that for you. That Allah loves you. And that we all become better servants of Allah. No matter what other people are doing around us, we don't engage in it if it cannot increase and make us better servants of Allah. Because that's what we all are striving for, to be better servants of Allah, as long as we have breath in our body. So I gave you various ways and wish to become better servants of Allah, to become closer to Allah. About the day of judgment, where Allah going to ask us various questions about our life and what we did with it, our wealth, and then how we earned it, how we spent it, that kind of thing. And so when Allah questions us, we want to say all good things about it. We want to say, yeah, Allah, I did it in service of you. I didn't do it for showing off for mankind or anything like that, or for a woman. I did it for your sake. And seeking your pleasure. And we don't want to be the person that put on airs, that are proud and be a bad servant of Allah, and not remember and being a corrupt individual. And I remember there's a beginning. With the beginning, there is an end. So we began, we are born, and that one day we have to face Allah. So we have to keep that in mind, my beautiful students, and that we want to be the ones, again, that we pray publicly in a good manner and also secretly in a good manner. So Allah can say, this is my servant indeed. That we want Allah to say that about us, that we are indeed the servant of Allah. This is what we, each and every one of us, want Allah to say about us, and want Allah to be pleased with us and pleased with our actions and the things that we do, and not just be displeased with us. And that Allah will open when the gates are open on Monday and Thursday, that we do not be mad at our brother or our sister. And that Allah looks for, okay, are there any reconciliation between the two of them? Any reconciliation between the two of them? Any reconciliation between the two of them? No, I don't want that said about me or said about you. If my brother and my sister, we got a problem with each other, then let's resolve it now before it's too late. And that I owe it to you on the day of judgment because I dishonored you. I don't want that to happen, or that you dishonor me, and that we all want to draw as close to Allah as possible. And each and every one of us want to do that and seek the reward of Allah. I just want to review some things and talk, and we want to alleviate any suffering that a person is doing, so that Allah will alleviate suffering for us on the day of resurrection. And that we want to leave any person of kind any pressure that they are receiving, or ease a person, or conceal a person's faults, or Allah conceal our faults on the day of judgment. And we definitely want to seek the reward of Allah, and that we get a chance and to put our heads on the ground in prostration, and we ask Allah for forgiveness, because that's when we are become closer to Allah, and ask and Allah Ta'ala, may He forgive us for any shortcomings that we may have. I want you, if you all want to know more information about what I'm talking about here, you can go to Why Islam. And you can look that up and Google that about Why Islam. You can also find more information by the Islamic Open University, or they call it the International Open University. Find out for more information about Islam, and also American Open University, and find out more information about Islam. Don't let this just be the only way you seek knowledge about Islam. Go ahead and seek other sources, good sound sources, and the ones I just mentioned are ways, a good sound source, is a place you can get the beautiful knowledge, more knowledge of Islam. You have been listening to or attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan Amin, or Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.